Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Sin is serious business. I don't know if we always recognize that. I think sometimes we minimize our sin or sin in the world in general, or at least our own sin and the sin of others we magnify, right? Because their sin is so much worse than our sin, and we make this comparison. Sin is serious. God takes sin very seriously. I don't know if you heard that in the Old Testament reading in Deuteronomy. He says, I place before you life and death, good and evil. In other words, forgiveness or freedom and sin, you have a choice to make. Which way are you going to go? There was serious implications about what God was saying there. He said, if you follow this way, there's only one way that ends, and that ends in complete and total annihilation. Death, not only just death of the physical body, but complete and utter death and destruction of everything that you are. This is the way, the path of following idols and following the idol of self leads to death. He also said, follow my word. Hear my word and do my word and live my word and follow what I command and you have life. And not just life, but long life in this wonderful land that I've promised you. So you have this choice. Which way are you going to go? God takes sin very, very seriously. In our gospel reading, Jesus is in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount. That's Matthew chapter 5. And so he begins with the Beatitudes, which we've talked about, and then he gets to these other points where he's talking about how followers of him, his followers, Jesus' followers, Christians, in other words, live differently. We take sin very, very seriously. The Old Testament, the people in the Old Testament and the Pharisees that Jesus encountered also took sin very seriously, but they did it in a weird way, in a misguided way. They took sin so seriously that they started constructing all of these other laws around it so that even sort of dipping a toe in the water meant you were breaking the law, and so then it was punishable and it was this awful thing. They'd kind of gone the wrong direction. They took sin seriously, but they also made things sin that weren't necessarily sin, while ignoring some of the things that were sin that Jesus talks about. Sin is serious business. There's no way around it. We ourselves, as sinners in this world, and you know, sort of absorbed in sin, and sin absorbed in the world, we live in this perpetual mess all the time. And sometimes we get so accustomed to it, so comfortable in it, that we lose sight of how serious sin can be. We lose sight, we start to justify the things that we do. Now, I can't really talk as much about the outside world of those outside of Christ, because they live in their own world. Those outside of Christ don't have the Word of God in the same way. And so yes, the things that they do out there in the world, yes, atrocious, right? We know that. We recognize that. We see that. But we can't do much about that. And I know that's hard because we want to. And we want to point fingers and we want to judge and we want to condemn, but that's not our job. We got enough to do right here in our own hearts. We need to take sin seriously. We need to recognize our own faults, our own misgivings, our own mistakes, our own messes that we are, and take them seriously. We need to recognize that sinful self in here. You know, and the confession in one of our liturgies, we talk in terms that make a lot of people uncomfortable. We say, I, a poor, miserable sinner. That makes us uncomfortable. Well, what do you mean by that? I'm not miserable. I'm not poor. Well, when it comes to sin and righteousness, yes, yes. We are poor, miserable sinners. We're stuck in this sinful world. We're stuck in this battle against doing good and doing evil. And it's not in the same way that you see, you know, the little angel and the devil. That's convenient. It's not that simple. Because then you could ignore. It's more of a tug of war, which your arms are that which is being tugged apart. And there's really nothing you can do about it, which is hard for us. We're stuck in this sinful condition. And I know, as a Lutheran, we talk about sin in terms of, well, Jesus paid the price for it, so, well, maybe it's not so bad. Well, yes, it is. I want you to know that. Sin is just as bad as it was to the people that were hearing it in Deuteronomy, as it was to the people who were receiving Jesus' teaching on the mountain, and it was to the people who were hearing Paul's letter. All of those people. Sin was bad. It's bad today. It's not somehow less bad. Sin is that which separates us from God. Sin is that which causes destruction. We know that, and we see that. We are not above the consequences of our sin, and we prayed that, consequences. In other words, when we mess up, when we break God's commandments, when we break God's law, when we sin, no matter what it is, it breaks a relationship. That's what Jesus was talking about. He said, well, you've heard people say that thou shalt not murder, meaning intentionally kill someone, because you'll be liable to judgment. That's it. Anything beyond that, well, there's a gray area. We'll kind of. And Jesus says, no, there's no gray area. In fact, if you're angry with somebody, if you're hating somebody, if you're holding on to this bitterness against somebody, that's sin, and it's breaking the relationship. It's hurting the relationship. The consequences aren't sort of heavenly imposed or spiritually zapped by God. It is the breaking of the relationship. It's the hurt in your heart. That's the consequence. Now, we can always say, and we always do when I teach confirmation, you know, fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill or thou shalt not murder, and we say, well, yeah, great. I've never killed anybody that I know of. Hopefully I haven't. Well, but there's more to it than that. Right? It's not just the physical act of violence against somebody. It's that anger in your heart, because that anger in your heart leads in one direction, and that's further and further down the road into sin. Because that anger takes root and festers. That bitterness holds on and won't let other things happen. And we end up being sort of closed off. I'm sure at some point we've been in that situation, or we've known somebody who is so angry and not willing to let go or forgive and process. They just want to hold on and be angry. They're not necessarily pleasant people to be around. It breaks relationships. All of the things that Jesus talks about in his Sermon on the Mount in this section that we've read is about the severing of relationships, whether that's physically or in our hearts, emotionally or sexually, as he talks about adultery and all of the things that go on there, and the way our eyes mislead and draw us down paths, and it's a mess. This is how seriously sin is. This is how we need to approach it. So what do we do? And here comes the question, well, what can I do? I mean, if we're stuck in it and I can't do anything about it, well then, what then? Well, you got some options. Last week I talked about how we're supposed to live as Christians. I'll tell you some options for avoiding sin. Okay, are you ready? Here's your options for avoiding sin. You can sort of sell everything and go live in a cave in the mountains by yourself forever and ever. Well, I mean, it's avoiding some, but sin lurks in here. So no matter where you go, it'll be there. Even if you're hiding in a cave, sin is still there. So you can't run away from it, is what I'm saying. You can't run from it or hide from it. Okay, so what else can we do? All right, well, we can make our list of all of the things that we're supposed to do and read that list so closely and so carefully that we won't even step without checking to see, all right, am I breaking anything? And then what do we end up? Paralyzed. Because we can't move without worrying or fear. That's another way. So you can hide. It's not going to work. You can stop doing anything with anybody, anytime, anywhere, any place. We can just sort of sequester ourselves. We know that that doesn't work to avoid sin. We could take Jesus' words literally in the Sermon on the Mount as he's saying, if your eye causes you to sin, if your eye is the one looking in ways that it shouldn't be looking, he says, go ahead and just rip it right out of your head. Better for you to be blind than with good eyes fall into destruction. And some people have taken him literally on that. It doesn't really work. Because it's not the eye. It's what the eye's connected to in here. And he says, well, then if your hands cause you to sin, go ahead and cut them off. It's better to you have no hands at all than to just go along sinning with your hands. And again, some people have taken them literally, but you can't cut off your hands and still be somehow sin-free. It's not here. It's here. So then if we're to take Jesus' words literally, in order to avoid all sin, we need to cut out the section of us that is the sinful section, which is the heart. Not the literal pumping beating of our heart, but that seat of the soul. How do you do that? How do you eliminate the seat of your soul, the heart, where sin lurks? You can't, and still be alive. This is how serious sin is, everyone. This is how serious it is, because the only way to avoid it, to get rid of all sin, is to die. Those who are dead don't have to struggle with sin anymore. It's one of the beauties of a Christian funeral. So you get to speak those words that the one who has died is free from sin. And again, some have taken Jesus seriously on this. It's not the way to go. So what do? The only thing we can do, that is look to Jesus. We can't avoid it. We can't run from it. We can't hide from it. We can't even die from it. Here's the thing. We have to look to Jesus. He's the only way. He's the only way. We can't fight it ourselves. We can't go toe-to-toe with sin and win. It won't work. The only freedom from sin is in Christ. It's in Jesus. God takes sin so seriously that he sent his son Jesus to die for the sins of the entire world, of all people, of all time, and in all places. Christ died. God himself, embodied in the flesh of Jesus, died on the cross for our sins, for the sins of the whole world. That's how serious God takes it. And in Christ, through Christ, he says to you, you can't do it. I will do it for you. And in Christ, he has. In Christ, he has died for all of our sin, of all of our time and all of our places, all of the things our hands have done, our eyes have seen, our heart has held on to. Christ died for that. And he says to you and me, it's because I love you that I died for your sins, that I chose the good, the promises, so that you won't end up in death and destruction. Christ himself lived and died and rose again so that we could be free from this death and destruction, the total annihilation of all that we are. He gives it to us. And he says, you now are free. Free from sinning? Well, wait just a second. Let's not go too far. No, not in the sense that we now will never sin again, but that we are free from the ultimate condemnation, from that complete judgment, from the total destruction that is assured through sin. Jesus says, I did that for you to set you free. Now, you are free to go out. You are free to live. You don't have to hide in a cave. You don't have to sequester yourself. You can go out and live the life I've given you to live, proclaiming the excellencies of God, as we said in our Bible study today, who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And yeah, you're going to mess up. We all do. We all fall short. We all sin. We all stumble all the time. We just have to look to the cross once again and say, Christ did it for me. He died for me. He died to set me free so that I can tell everyone about what he has done. Sin is serious. God takes it seriously. And he knows. He knows its power. And because of that, he sent his son. So that in him, we are free. Amen. And now may the peace that Christ won for us on the cross take up residence in our hearts so that we are assured in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.